Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
Genesis chapter 1. We'll be reading from verse 11. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. Verse 12. "The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good." Now, as you know, we have been speaking about this subject of cooperating with the seasons in life's adventures. And we have established that there are five seasons for ease of teaching. We said number one is the stage of sit down and count, which you come out of with the wisdom for your salvation. That is the set principles, the theoretical basis upon which you will do what you want to do. And they said that in stage two, that thing will be tested. So we have the trial of your faith, because your faith actually is in God, believing that the things that you call the wisdom for your salvation will work. And then number three, you will enter into the stage of rest, having been tested. That is, you will enter rest either because you have learned to rest by imbibing the correct doctrine, or you have learned to rest because experiences have taught you that no matter how hard you try in life, what will really come to you is not your own effort, but what God has given to you. Like we have said in previous times, that blessings are commanded. Now, when you have established, you have come to learn this one in life, knowing that the times you struggled didn't bring you anything, but many of the things that you have not even struggled for in life have come to you easily. All these things put together with the doctrine of God that you have learned allows you to stay in the position of rest. Now God can begin to work, because God only works when men are resting. When men give God the room to work, then God begins to work. The next thing you now begin to notice is that the thing begins to bear results. It begins to bear fruit, which is the next stage. That is stage number four, the stage of fruitfulness. And we said the fifth stage, which is what I'm developing again further today, is that stage of multiplication and dominion. I began to speak about that last time, and that is God's order. That God says that his plan is for multiplication and dominion. In verse 26 of that Genesis that we are reading, God said, "This is my plan concerning man." He said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Now, God now made them. He said in verse 28, "God blessed this man and woman he has made and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Now, what was God saying here? That my plan, as we saw from verse 26, is that these people should rule or have dominion. That this man is supposed to have dominion. In anything that God has called you to do in life, God expects you to have dominion. So we see in that verse 28, that God now commanded them therefore, that be fruitful and multiply. By his words of blessing, he imparted that ability to multiply into them. And he said to them, that this is how you will have dominion. You will be fruitful, you will multiply, you will fill the earth, and in this process, you will subdue it, and you will rule over everything that is there. That is, the way by which you will have dominion is for you to multiply. The way by which you will multiply is for you to first be fruitful. That is, when you enter into our fourth stage, the stage of fruitfulness, you now have to plan for multiplication. Now, get the point I'm trying to make here. Multiplication is the proper order of God. God does not expect something to be small. I established something last week, that there is a satanic thing that a lot of us indulge in, a satanic mindset. We look at it and say things like, you see, what is a man looking for in life? If a man just has enough to eat, has enough to drink, has enough to buy a small car, build a small house, and have enough money to send his children to school, then what else is he running after? And I'm explaining to you again that that is a satanic mindset. Now, it is not as if I am saying that people should start running for more than they need. But I'm saying that multiplication is a commandment from God. Dominion is an assignment that God has given you. Because God does not directly rule on the earth. Let me explain this. God does not directly rule on the earth. The Bible says the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. That is, when God wants to rule, what he does is to talk to these sons of men, and then they will subject their authority to God. And then God will have the dominion in life through them. I don't know whether you're getting what I want to say. That is, men will subject themselves to the kingdom of God in their own personal lives, and in the areas in which they have dominion in life, the kingdom of God will become manifested. I'm explaining a point here that God gave the dominion of this earth to mankind, and when God is going to have dominion, it will be because the people that are his are walking in dominion. I'm establishing a point that when people say that I don't really want much in life, what they are saying is that they will not be able to have dominion in life. Multiplication is the assignment that God has given you. Dominion is the goal of God for whatever area you are dealing in. Now, this thing I'm saying is very important because, you see, the problem we have had sometimes in life is that we have misjudged the use of things. People tell you that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, yet he is not corrupt. God is the ruler over all the earth and he's not a corrupt God. What I'm trying to say is that we may have noticed that amongst mankind, that power has corrupted them. Therefore, in trying to walk righteously, we want to run away from power. We want to run away from the ability to have authority in life. Meanwhile, what God is saying is that I will give you authority, I will give you power, then you will subject the use of that thing to my will. By that, I will have dominion on the earth. See, a lot of things that people have done on this earth is a corruption of God's order. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, that you see, let's take a country like the United States of America. They have very, very serious checks and balances. And if you are in power, you cannot just do what you like. There are people who enter power, they don't put it on their agenda to acquire money. They know that if you do that, you might end up in jail. Look, they are not Africans. We don't understand that principle yet. But in those places, people have so much serious checks and balances that most presidents there, by the time they leave the office, they are poorer than when they walked in. I remember the case of Jimmy Carter. He was a multi-millionaire before he entered office. By the time he left office, they totaled his worth, it was less than $1 million. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now, I'm bringing out a point here. Yet, people will still spend money. Get my point? They spend scores of millions of US dollars to campaign for presidency. I don't know whether you're following my point. People will donate money to bring a man into power. The man will spend all his energy, leave his business. Why? Is it because he's going to get something? Not necessarily, but because there is an assignment in the life of everybody to fulfill. If it takes God all that to bring you to the position where you can work for him, you have to do it. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. There are times you will spend your energy to get to something, not because you want to help yourself, but because you want to be able to help other people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Dominion in life is not for self-aggrandizement. You are not trying to be richer. That is why we have misjudged this thing. And I said, what is he running after? One day, man, I was in a bus park and one of the conductors made his point. You know, I said something like, look, this is not the right thing way to do business. The man pointed out to me that the buses that this man owned that has left this park from Lagos to another part of the country that day were more than 40. And that what else is he looking for? The man didn't understand that 40 buses had left. I had not yet traveled. I still needed another bus to travel. That is why he's the conductor and not the owner of that business. Are you getting my point? Because he is looking at it as if we have been able to fill 40 buses today, we don't care what you think. But a man who understands the principle of assignment in dominion knows that you have been able to fill 40 buses does not mean anything. You should be able to fill the 41st one. As long as there are passengers, you should keep on working hard to be able to move them to the places where they are going. Because for everybody, life is an assignment. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making here. That is, it is a satanic principle. It's a cult of selfishness in which men sit down and deceive themselves. That was, I have enough money to build a house. I have enough money to buy a car for myself and to train my children. And what more am I looking for in life? I am telling you that you will not be able to train the orphan. I am telling you that you will not be able to house the fatherless. I am explaining to you that if you have that satanic attitude, you will not be able to help anybody. And you are not likely to live long in life. Because one of the things that prolong the life of people is that they are constantly affecting the life of everybody else. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm emphasizing this fact that dominion is an assignment. It is not that you eat better. There's a man I heard of some time ago, multimillionaire who gives out millions of US dollars every year. The man had only one car and one pair of shoes. This is what we need to understand. It is not about acquiring more. It is about creating more wealth. Do you follow what I'm saying here? You know, the other day I went somewhere and somebody was working on one of my properties and the guy was repairing it. And I looked at the skill with which this guy was doing what he was doing. I told myself, say, my God, this guy is skilled. Then the next thought came to my mind. Now, I wasn't checking about how much money this guy was making doing this business. That just came to my mind is I said, God, where is it in life that I will do something? All right? And people will say, my God, this man is skilled in this thing he's doing. Now, for me, it was not whether that thing will make money. But my own is that people who need help in this particular area will come to me. I need help in a particular area. I have gone to somebody. After I had gone to many people, and this guy handled this equipment with skill, you know, the kind of skill that the Bible describes concerning Bezalel, the spirit of the craftsman. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So I asked myself simply, what is it in life that I do this well? Now, whether it makes money or not doesn't concern me. And instantly, I identified it. I said, oh, this is the place where people will come and say, this guy is skilled here. While watching another person work, I made up my mind that I will pour my energy into my own area of skill. Look, I am going to expand it so that everybody that needs my skill will be able to reach it. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Now, listen to me. That is how God reigns on the earth. For him to bring a blessing into the lives of people, he needs to go through a man, he needs to go through a woman who has committed his skill to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that person has used his skill to get dominion on the earth. Because this is a fact. No matter how spiritual you are, if you are not powerful, your voice will not have an influence. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Listen, we can say that in the place of prayer, you can get anything done. That is true. I am not saying that it is not true. But when God wants to get the thing that you have prayed about done, he will still bring a man of influence. Do you follow what I'm saying? When God wanted to answer the prayer of Daniel, he strengthened Cyrus to come and overtake Babylon. I'm talking about being God's effector on the earth. Let me give you an example. Every time Christians gather and they pray, country is back, country is back, country is back. God do something, God do something, God do something. I have noticed that God doesn't just do something like that. The first step in whatever God wants to do is to find somebody that he will send. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God will first look for somebody that he will send. And now, why I'm saying all of this is for us to get away from this satanic mentality of once I'm earning this amount of money and I just have this, I can afford this and this, then I am okay. Listen, I am not saying you are not okay your own stomach-wise. I am saying that you are not okay when it comes to being a man of influence for God on this earth. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You know, there's a cult of poverty. Now, pardon my own expression, that a lot of people belong to. In their hearts, they claim that they desire greatness and they desire wealth. But they are inside a cult of poverty. What do I mean by cult of poverty? They will sit down like with their friends and start criticizing everybody that is wealthy and powerful. The same thing that they claim to be reaching out for. Are you getting what I'm saying? When they see somebody who has it, their spirit reacts in anger against that person. And they start telling you that, don't mind all these people, they are all thieves. How do you know the man is a thief? Are you getting my point? And then you now go down to church and be praying every day. God bless me, God bless me. God said, you see, let me just use the words of Mike Murdock. He said, whatever you don't respect, you don't attract. Are you following my point? When you see a man who is wealthy, you say he's a thief, he's looking for too much for himself. God said, you see, you don't get this point. This is the only kind of person I can use to bless you. If you needed a job, he will be the one to give you. But your soul hates him, so I can't bless you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, a lot of things we see in life is Satan has corrupted the proper order of God. So you see a man who has money, who has dominion, who has influence. What does he do? He's serving Satan. He's corrupting all the young girls in university that he can lay his hands on. Weekends, he sends his boys to school, to secondary school and go and bring him young girls. Then you think it is a function of the fact that he's wealthy. No, it is a function of the fact that he's satanic in his heart. And maybe he has, through cultic activities, acquired wealth. So he's serving his master, Satan. And I'm explaining to you that one of the reasons why God will not bring such men down is that God told the children of Israel simply that you are coming into a promised land. I will not drive out the inhabitants therein in one day, because if I did, you guys are too small. You cannot occupy the land that I want you to occupy. Therefore, wild beasts will run over the land. Wild vegetation will grow everywhere. When you finally get there, you'll have to start cultivating from the beginning. Therefore, I will leave the nations that are not my people there. I will leave them as caretakers. They know how to cultivate the land. They know how to manage wealth. They know how to manage money. You don't know it yet. And listen, it is unfortunate that while they are doing that, they spoil it a lot of good things. And it's a scriptural principle. Paul said that there are vessels of wrath that God is enduring until a particular time. That is, God is not saying what the man is doing is right. He said, but I don't have much of an option for now. Are you following my point? That is, God said that except the people that are called by my name, who have committed their life to righteousness, learn to expand in their minds, learn to understand that these things are not evil. What has happened is that you have seen it in the lives of evil people. It's like money. Money has no character in itself. Money is just plain. Are you getting my point? Money is just like fire. You can use it to destroy. You can use it to cook. Are you getting my point? You can use it to destroy. You can use it to refine. You can use money to turn the life of somebody around for the better. And you can use it to murder somebody. It's all money. Money doesn't discriminate when you are sending it. What gives money character is the person who's handling it. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is why I am particularly displeased with the prosperity message that makes it appear that the sign of prosperity is that I drive a bigger car. Listen to me. The sign of prosperity is I'm able to affect more lives, even if I don't change my car. Are you getting my point? Last year, I was driving a maybe 1975 B2. And then this year, I buy a brand new E-Class. It does not show I'm prosperous. What is the sign of godly prosperity? Last year, all the money I could give somebody was enough to buy breakfast. This year, there are 10 people in university that I'm paying their school fees. That is prosperity. Even if my Okada is what I'm still riding. Are you getting my point? That is why, like I said earlier, I don't agree with the gospel of I gave out a motorbike, now I have an E-Class. The Bible says that this is what God does. He multiplies your seed for sowing. Are you getting my point? This is how godliness is. Last year, I gave out one Okada. This year, I have been able to give out 10. Are you getting my point? Last year, I paid school fees for 2 secondary school pupils. This year, I'm paying for 5 university students. Next year, I hope to plan to add 2 postgraduate students to it. Maybe one day I'll send somebody abroad. That is a sign of godly prosperity. Are you getting my point? And God said, this is how you will get there. Number one, you will be fruitful. And then number two, you will multiply. Then number three, you will now be able to fill the earth and then have dominion. Are you getting the point I need to make? Somebody told me something about one famous Nigerian multi-millionaire of those days. He said that man, he had the habit of turning the lives of people around. You just see him and say, oh, boy, what are you doing now? He says, I'm still looking for work. You are looking for work? He will take his business card and say, where do you want to work? You tell him, he writes on the back of the card to virtually any company in Nigeria and say, go and give the MD. You just put at the back, say, please, this is my brother. He will need your assistance. He'll give you the card. That gets you a job. Nobody will deny you a job. And that is dominion used for good. Are you getting my point? Look, listen, you can pray all you want. Prayer is good. But when God really wants to do the right thing in prayer, he still must send somebody of dominion into your life. Mike Murdock said, when God wants to bless you, he sends somebody into your life. Now, that is very true. But I want to add something to it. When God wants to bless somebody else, he sends you into their life. Do you get my point? And I'm saying you must position yourself for in a place where you will be the one that God will be sending into people's lives. Are you following the point I'm making? You see, I started this by explaining something. If you know that last week I was establishing this progression from the first stage of fruitfulness to that of multiplication and dominion. Now, the first portion of the scriptures we read today from the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. God established a particular order there. When he was creating, he said there are plants. And this is how these plants will also fill the earth. They will produce fruit. All right? And inside the fruit will be seed. You know, that is, plants will produce seed or produce fruit with seed in them. And God emphasized that word seed. And anytime you see the word seed in the Bible, it implies the obvious. It's something that should be planted. And every time it is planted, it comes out in a multiplied form. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when a man is fruitful, the Bible says that inside your fruit is seed for the next level of multiplication. With that, you get into a vicious cycle. When I say vicious cycle, I mean that after you've planted the seed, they will bear fruit again. And inside the fruit is yet more seed. And then you go on and go on like that until you literally have multiplied. I'm explaining something again practically. If you are doing business, the first time you have enough money to buy a car is the very time you must not buy one. Do you understand what I'm going to say? When your business yields you enough money to buy a car, it is that time you should not buy one except the car is for business. Are you getting my point? That is the time you should start expanding your business. I established something last week that is a problem we have had, especially in this our part of the country, in which a young man is struggling. They first explained to him that if you don't build a house in your village, you have not made it. Listen, houses in villages, they are good. But listen, they are not priority. There are things you've done after your seeds have produced fruit, which has produced seed and have produced more fruit, which have yet produced more seeds and have produced more fruit. And then you build such things out of the comfort of your heart. That is, you do it without even realizing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me give you a practical tip on how to do your business accounting. Have a simple formula that out of my profit, this is how I share it, this particular portion goes back to expanding the business. There's what the Bible calls the complacency of fools. I referred to it last time, or the prosperity of fools. That is the mistake people make, is that they think that now I am made. Once you open your mouth in life and say you are made, you are beginning to go down, even though you don't realize it. This is a principle of life. You must constantly increase. He said, make sure you don't fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. That is, growth is the only assurance that you are not falling. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. That growth is the only assurance that you are not falling in life. Growth is the only assurance. And you know, if you are not growing, this is the principle. Somebody else who is growing will eventually overtake you. And he will take that dominion from you. One of the things that Satan sells to people is that issue of that rich man who says, soul, you have many goods laid up for your years to come. He said that, therefore, take your rest, eat and be merry. God said, no, you have missed the assignment of life. You must never lay up good enough for yourself to settle down and say, now I can relax in life. No, it doesn't work like that. You must always be productive. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Those days, when they had this, their dot-com boom, the internet boom in America. Now, the thing collapsed for many reasons. All right? There are many economic reasons why it eventually collapsed. But let me give you one spiritual reason I noticed. After it collapsed, I noticed a lot of the lamentations of the young men who lost money. That is, a young boy is probably worth $5 million today, but next day he's not worth more than $250,000. Many of them said, oh, I had not planned to work beyond the age of 30. I had planned to work till I'm 30, then I will retire and start spending my money. Many of them were doing that. They found a quick way to make money and then they will retire and start enjoying the money. That is a spiritual reason, or one of the many reasons why it collapsed, but a serious spiritual one. God said, I don't fund such rubbish. Therefore, God put a pin to the bubble. The thing burst and everybody went back to square one. Because in life, you must always be productive. You must always expand. Do you get my point? Listen, you are not competing with anybody. I said this some time ago and I'd like to say it again. In life, the competition in life is between you and yourself. That is banking making progress? You don't check whether Banky is making progress by comparing him with another preacher. Are you following my point? How do you check whether he's making progress? Last year, the impact he was making, is he making more impact than last year now? It's simple. My own progress is measured by how progressively I am increasing in affecting the lives of people. I don't care what somebody else is doing. Are you getting my point? I can take example from the life of somebody. But the issue is that I judge progress in my life. I judge prosperity by how much impact I'm having compared with the one I had in previous years. Are you following what I'm saying? I will not look around. What I'm saying this is this. You don't feel like I have done more than everybody else. You are not in competition with everybody else. You must constantly be going up because you are in competition with yourself. That is God's order. The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It keeps on shining brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Listen to me. That perfect day is the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Now, this is the last of the five steps that I said we have in the adventures of life. This last step is where God is taking us to. But you will notice something. This one seems to have no end. It is the step you get into and you remain in there forever. That is, you keep on increasing and you keep on increasing. Now, I said something beginning some time ago, that one step flows into another. Now, before we go today, I want to explain a principle that helps you go effortlessly from one step to another. Let me say that again. There is something that will help you move effortlessly from one stage to another in these phases of life that we are talking about. And that is a power of thanksgiving. Now, what is thanksgiving? That I mean that you acknowledge God for every stage you are in and you thank Him because better things are still going to happen in your life. Now, this one, I want to just spend a few minutes on it. It's so important because the problem with people sometimes is that they are in stage one, the stage of sitting down and counting. And they are looking at a man who has entered into the stage of fruitfulness. And they start grumbling and say that, can you imagine this guy? I was a senior in secondary school. When we came out, when we finished work those days, I did far better than him. And inside them, they are angry. Or there's one that's very common. And I thank God for the way He has taught me some things in life. Even that's more than 10 years ago. All right? When people will talk like this, what I'm about to say, my soul then will even reject it, and it's still rejecting it till now. And things were much worse, both for me and for most people then, than it is now. Let me explain what I'm saying. We'll be sitting in our office, and we're working. And they pay us a salary at the end of the month. Maybe it's about 5,000 naira. And it was 5,000 naira those days. And then I'm supposed to say, can you see a whole doctor is being paid 5,000 naira? How much is that? It's annoying. They calculate it to dollars. Then it will come to about $60. He said, can you imagine if you're in America now, you'll be earning $2,000 a month? Do you know, every time I heard it, my soul would be angry. I would turn to the people. I said, you are privileged you went to school. You are privileged you have a job. You are privileged you are getting a pay. You can eat with this money even if it is not much. Why don't you just raise it up to God and give Him thanks? Because greater things are still coming. I used to look like an idiot. As if I was not in touch with reality. For goodness sake, I was in touch with reality. I knew what I couldn't afford. I knew I would have loved to have a car, but I couldn't afford one. I knew the kind of things I would have loved to have, and couldn't afford it. But I kept on saying, there are things that I have that many people don't have. But more importantly than that is that I realized that life is in phases. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And that I'm in a particular phase of life. You know, we complain. The power supply is very erratic. And I heard somewhere some time ago that Nigeria is number one consumer of generating plants in the world. How do you interpret that? Some say that, listen, NEPA is very, very erratic. Power is very, very erratic. I say yes. But do you know there are countries who have power more than them? But they are too poor to buy generators. We buy more generators. It's not just that power is erratic. It shows we can afford it. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, I'm not saying power should be erratic. It doesn't help businesses, all right? I know that. But I'm explaining there is a focus of thanksgiving even there. And NEPA is always taking our light. I said, Father, I thank you. I can afford a small generator. I can afford to fuel it. Are you getting the point I'm making here? He said, water is not flowing in our house. I said, Father, I thank you. I could afford a tank, and I can afford periodically to get a tanker to fill it. I go to America, water is flowing there. I said, my assignment in life, will I carry it with me to America? I have come into this life to create a substance that will bless somebody else's life. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm saying this as we conclude this our series of teachings on the seasons of life. That we must be thankful for whichever season in life we find ourselves at any particular point in time. Are you getting my point? You want to start a business. A year has passed. All you have been doing is researching. The money is not yet complete. It is time to give God thanks. God is giving you more time to build up the solid theoretical foundation for the success you will have tomorrow. Because something is important for you to note. What will carry you through the season of enjoyment, and that's what I want to begin to talk about beginning from next week, how to survive success. What will carry you through in the time of success are the principles you learned in the time of adversity. I have come to understand that God allows you lean periods so that you have time to read, you have time to pray, you have time to learn the proper things. So each season you are in, you must thank God because there is something that God is doing in your life at that season.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.